Welcome to episode 19 of the St. John the Baptist Parish Podcast. Well, there's a lot of great things to tell you about that's going on at the parish. First of all, on our website, you can find a link to Formed. This is Forming Catholics for Life. And the parish office is thrilled to give this to you for free. Okay, you can go directly to their website at formed.org. Or go to the St. John the Baptist Parish website, and there'll be a link there. This is a premier online platform packed with inspiring Catholic content. We're talking about movies, Bible studies, audio talks, ebooks, programming for the kids, a lot more. And guess what? It's free. You always hear there's nothing free in life. This is free from the parish of St. John the Baptist. Think of it as Catholic Netflix, with resources to grow your faith and deepen your relationship with Jesus anytime, anywhere. Well, if you've been thinking about becoming Catholic, or maybe you know someone you've been talking with about the faith, maybe they've been asking you a few questions, the way people come into the church or even just learn about the faith, there's no like commitment. You can join the Order of Christian Initiation of Adults as a way to learn about the faith. It's the journey that people take to become Catholic. This means people who are not baptized, okay, they're not Christians, but it also would include people like a Protestant who wants to become Catholic. Now, they've already been baptized, and if they were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit with water, we recognize that baptism, and they would make a profession of faith, but they go on this same journey to learn about the sacraments, to learn about the authority of the church. And we're going to be having what we call an inquiry session on Tuesday, October 7th. That'll be at 6 p.m. It's a meet and greet in the parish hall. It's going to be an information meeting, and we're going to be reviewing the program scope, the expectations, and the schedule, and answer any questions. And there'll be some refreshments there as well. You can call the church office if you'd like to know more about OCIA. That stands for the Order of the Christian Initiation of Adults. It's about 5 weeks away, and we could not be more excited for the massive installation of Father Alberto as pastor of St. John the Baptist Catholic Parish. He's been our administrator, as you know, for more than a year. But the Archdiocese is installing Father Alberto as pastor of St. John the Baptist at the 9 o'clock Mass on Sunday, September 28th. So please mark your calendars. You definitely want to be there for this special day. We're also trying to make the church as beautiful as possible for Father Alberto's installation. And if you'd like to donate flowers for the installation Mass, we are gratefully accepting donations. Just call the parish office and they'll be able to help you with that. Here's some more exciting news. We are planning a St. John the Baptist youth ministry. This is going to be geared towards high school students and students preparing for confirmation. We're going to need adult volunteers to make this work. You can contact Meg, who runs our religious education department. Her email is in the bulletin this week. There's an ad about that, and you can send Meg an email to learn how to get involved in that. And finally, you know, one of the hardest things in life, I think, is when you lose someone you love, especially a family member. And we're going to be offering a six-week bereavement support group for those seeking healing after the loss of a loved one. The sessions are going to begin Monday, September 8th at 3:30 p.m. in the parish hall. We're going to get together every week over 6 weeks, starting Monday, September 8th. Space is limited. We only have room for 12 participants. Call the office if you would like more information about this. Every time we go to Mass, we hear the readings, right? And one of the things we always hear at Mass is the responsorial psalm. And you might think of it as the theme of the Mass. The psalms are a real treasure in the life of a Catholic. You might consider the Book of Psalms the church's ancient prayer book. Now, the Psalms play a very important part in Catholic tradition. Now, what is the Book of Psalms? If you haven't opened your Bible and looked at it in a long time, it's a collection of 150 prayers and hymns that have been part of the worship for God's people across millennia. Now, we traditionally attribute the Psalms to King David, but he didn't write every single one of them. The Psalms, of course, were central to Jewish temple liturgy. And as Christ fulfilled all of the Jewish scriptures, was crucified, died, and was buried, and then rose into heaven, the Psalms seamlessly became a part of Christian worship. The early Catholic Church prayed them in catacombs, monasteries, and private homes. St. Athanasius famously said that most scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. This sort of really captures the unique nature of this book in the Bible. They're not just words to be read, but they resonate with our own experiences so many times. We can see our joys and our sufferings when we read the Psalms. In Catholic tradition, the Psalms are the backbone of the Liturgy of the Hours. Now, that is the church's daily prayer that's prayed by priests, deacons, members of religious communities, and an increasing number of lay people. Every day, through morning prayer, evening prayer, and other hours, there's a global chorus lifting the words of the Liturgy of the Hours up to God, always including readings from the Psalms. Think about this. The unity of all of these different people around the world praying. It might be a farmer in rural Ireland, a nun in Rome, a truck driver in Miami, a seminarian up in Boynton Beach. We're all coming together as Catholics in this universal prayer that binds us together in Christ. He prayed the Psalms himself, and we see in his cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, as you know, when we're attending Mass, we hear the responsorial psalm right after the first reading. Now, this isn't like filler. This isn't like we need to fill some space between the first and the second reading. The responsorial psalm is our response to God's word. It's a time to reflect and reply in song and prayer. Pope Benedict, in one of his weekly audiences, once reflected on Psalm 119, which says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This reminds us that the Psalms anchor us in God's law, what's expected of us, and his love. The Psalms have sustained the church through trials, persecutions, schisms, and reforms, offering the saints through the ages both solace and strength. St. John Chrysostom once said, the Psalms are a treasury of divine utterances suited for every occasion. Consider the early martyrs of the church who might have chanted Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, as they face certain death. Their courage reminds us that these aren't dusty old texts, but the words on the page in your Bible, in the Book of Psalms, are actually a companion to go with you, to strengthen you, to remind you what God has done for you and what God has promised to do for you in the future. Now, if you've ever read all 150 Psalms, which you could probably do in a week or two, even just reading a few of them a day, they really are a masterpiece. The whole gamut of human emotion is explored. You have moments of praise, lament, trust in God, repentance, even prophecy. The very last of the Psalms is Psalm 150. It calls us to praise God in his sanctuary with trumpet sound, with lute and harp. You know, this reminds us that being close to God is joyful and brings joy into our life. And it's not a superficial joy. The joy of the church is a deep recognition of God's goodness. I mentioned Psalm 22 before, the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. That's verse 1 of that chapter, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But it ends in hope. "I will tell of your name to my brethren." Now, the categories of psalms include the messianic psalms that foreshadow Christ's life, death, and resurrection. For example, Psalm 110 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand." During his lifetime, Pope Francis said, "The psalms are the prayer of Jesus for all season." Jesus prayed the psalms. Now, how can we make the psalms a living part of our Catholic life? They're not just for liturgy at the Mass. You go, you hear them, and that's it. But they're for our lives, our mornings, our commutes to work, our quiet time at night. How can we integrate those into our spiritual life? Well, start very simply. There are some psalms that are pretty short. And if you memorize some very short psalms, they'll come to mind from time to time when you need them. For example, when you're thinking about going to confession, Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." Memorizing a verse or two can actually become a lifeline in moments of stress you will face in the future. There's a website, divineoffice.org, where you can actually pray the Liturgy of the Hours. If you make that a habit of doing every single day, you're going to be incorporating many of the psalms into your daily spiritual life. So don't think of the psalms as being something confined to the church, right? When we go to Mass, there are things that stay in the church, right? There's things like the, what they call the thurible, right? Where the, that holds the incense, and there's the ambo where the word is proclaimed. These things stay in the church. You know, you don't take things like this home, but the psalms should go with you. They should be your companion. They're not just something to hear when you come to Mass. They're not like halftime between the first and the second reading. They're the theme of the Mass. They're really the theme of our lives, because we're all going to go through moments of joy. We're all going to go through moments of sadness. Also, by studying the psalms more, especially the ones that are prayed in moments of heartache, might just prepare us to evangelize. And you know, I think a lot of us think this is the job of the priest. The bishop does this stuff. But lay people are called to go forth and spread the good news. In fact, at the end of every Mass, there's the sending. Go forth, the Mass is ended. That doesn't mean go forth and forget about what we just did here. It means go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, primarily through your actions. But imagine a situation at work where someone was received some upsetting news. And if you might suggest to them some of the different psalms they might want to read, you know, it's not being pushy, but it's being prepared. It's knowing your faith. It's knowing the word. And the Holy Spirit will provide you opportunities to help other people when they need it and when they're receptive. And you could really change the whole course of their life if they're people who don't believe in God and they come to Him. Think of the beauty, the spiritual fruits generationally if they came into the church and their children were baptized. Just by knowing your faith, you could change someone's life very dramatically and the lives of their descendants. And you know, with the Psalms, it's easy. These are beautiful. These are beautiful to read. It's not like dusting off a book about the church fathers, which might be more academic and harder for a wide range of people to really dig into. The Psalms are for everyone.